Thank you so much. I am thankful to be here, being in front of you guys again. You know, myself sometimes I think that I try to I don't feel so secure that I can do this a lot of the times. And so I'm sure you guys see me once a month, maybe, here behind this podium. Because I said it once again, once before, that I'm not the fastest person to put a sermon together. And I need some time to study and to know what God wants me to speak about, and that I may bring something to you. And well, a lot of the times that doesn't happen. This month, this is my third time that I preach. Maybe not here, but in other places. For the first time, I was invited to preach in Mexico, and it was something. The first time, I was not able to finish what I had to say. I went over that hour, and so. Either that brought pleasure to Brother Placido, and he's like, this never happened before, that we're going to have a second part. So he was pretty excited about it, I can tell. For myself, well, you know, I wasn't able to make my point, I guess. So I preached twice in Mexico. And sometimes I just don't give myself enough credit, but I own it all to God. He's the one that brings me through, and I'm so thankful for that. So today, this evening, I'd like to thank you to be here and those who are watching over the live streaming, taking the time to come and hear me. And hear Jose. And so I was asking my brother Gary to open for me. And yeah, he's like, no, I don't have a tie. I can't stand in front of everybody without a tie. I'm like, I got you covered. I have this nice robe here. I always prepare with that thing. Because a lot of times I do forget my tie too. Even that, you know. I don't think it will make any difference, but you know, we had this this theme that in the Church of Christ, you know, you have to wear a tie. You have to wear a tie, and sometimes I feel myself like, why should I wear a tie? You know, but you know, so we all be comfortable and content. You know, let's just do what we have to do. But anyway, I have two sermons here. And I was praying to the Lord, what did he want me to talk about? It's pretty important what I have to say, no matter what, because his word is holy. And so what I have to say is, it's not up to me. And I always pray that for his guidance. Every time that our brothers open for me, I always ask him to pray for me. So I'm asking you right now to pray for me, and that I may be able to bring my thoughts that God has put in my heart. And so a lot of the times, you know, I was reading in the Exodus, and if you remember, you know, it's a little about Moses, and you know, have you watched the movie Moses, and it's pretty interesting. How is it the him being an Israelite, he was hiding when he was a baby. He was hiding by his mother when the king of Egypt or Pharaoh was ordained that all males should be killed for he didn't want not that many men in his kingdom or something. He had a reason, and of course God was aware of that also. And you know, how cool it is that that he's always thinking ahead of us. And so what happened to Moses is that it's really important, because if it wasn't for Moses, I don't know. You know, everything that happened in the Bible has a really good example, really good explanation, and it's there because God wanted it there. You know, if we think about Moses being hiding, and then afterwards the daughter of the Pharaoh raised him up in Egypt, and so he had no control of his dues or learning. He was well learned in the Egyptian customs and all those things. So he was really smart, I would say, because he was learning. He was well learning there. And so that is pretty interesting. You know, a lot of things happen, like me or anybody who's from a little town where the customs are really humble. You don't know much about the things that you can do in the big city. What I mentioned in Mexico is that you know, you think about the prodigal son, request his portion of his money to go and spend it in the big city, not him being from a farmer. And what happened? You know, you go to the big city, you learn all these things, and while you're young, while you're doing it, while you feel like it, you feel you're invisible. But afterwards, when you really into it, and then you want to get away with it, get away from it, it's too late. And it's true what it says in the Book of Mormon, when it says that the devil winds you slowly with threats. That afterwards, it turns into chains. And then it is very hard for you to get away with that. But then you're really into something really deep. It is really hard for you to get out. So Moses, afterwards, all we know, that God called him. That God called him, and maybe him as a man. Like me, like anybody else, probably felt the same way. Like, because he, if you remember, he was like, why you had to call me? Or why you want me to go? He was looking for every excuse not to do the work that God has called him. And then it's not just him. And if you think about Jonah, he was another one that was running away from God. And so Moses was doing the same thing. And, he was looking for whatever he can get away with it, for him not to do what God was asking him to do. That, and to God got his, he got mad, and he told him the things that he needed to hear, and so much that he was a little aggressive to him, and so. And afterwards, well, you know, he showed him the wonders right there where he was standing with, asking her to drop the staff in the ground and turn into a snake, put your hand in you inside, and it came out all full of leprosy and all those things. And then right there in the spot, he healed him. And that is... I think if it wasn't me, if it was me, I don't think I would have any doubts after seeing all those things. And so, but at the last, Moses there, what God asking him to do with the help of his brother Aaron. And so that's how I feel sometimes. And I think I said it many times, but that's how I feel sometimes. I mean, you know, who am I, you know, to do these things and bring this word to these people? Especially, I think my biggest weakness that I have is that the English is my second language. And I sometimes feel pretty down. But when I was preaching in Mexico, I was reading in Spanish, and I don't know what I was reading. It didn't make any sense for me. And so I was having a hard time with that. And so I kind of realized, okay, what's going on? So I think I've been here too long. I shouldn't not forget. I can read it, but really when I finish read it, my common side, I was struggling. But I'm glad that God helped me to bring that message. And so Brother Placido, so kind man. He's like, brother, so the people like what you said. He was a pretty good encourage to me. And he said, well, now you are employee. You have been admitted in the Spanish speakers something. I forgot the word. And so, guess what? Now I'm going to be expecting calls from him for whenever he needs me. me trying to get away with this preaching one time a month is not happening. And I just prayed to God that he will help me out. That he will help me out and that he will show me the things that I should say and the things that I shall bring to you. And with that, I'm going to start in 2 Nephi. 2 Nephi chapter 12. Verse 42 to 44. And it says, but behold, there shall be many at that day when I shall proceed to do the marvelous work among them, that I may remember my covenants which I have made unto the children of men, that I may set my hand again the second time to recover my people which are at the house of Israel. And the things that I want to focus today is that who we are. We're living in days and times that a lot of disturbing things are going on around us. They perhaps we kind of even kind of listening to more to those things that are going on around that instead of listening to what God has to say to us. I think at this point, you know, you're talking about wars and rumors of wars, and wars are going on right now, and pestilence and all those things, people dying and everything. But at the end, you know, I remember what Brother Campbell said, you know, after all, God is going to win. You know, God is going to win no matter what. It's up to us. It's up to us that we don't fall, that we don't give a chance to the enemy to take over you. It's up to us that remember that he said, you know, I didn't give you a spirit of weakness, but a power. So with that, you know, you remember that you're not alone. God is always next to you, holding you by your right hand. That's what he says. He's holding you by your right hand. So that tells me that I'm not alone. That God is always with me. If you remember, we asked prayers for my niece, one of my nieces, and she had a cover. Her name was Paola. And I haven't told you guys the updates, but she did pass last week. She was 33 years old. And I don't know how she was with God. What was the relationship that she had with him? I know how she was, but I know how she felt these last couple months that I knew that she was sick. And I hope and pray that she had enough time to repent. The way it sounds, it looks like she did, So we'll leave it to God. We'll leave it to God. But we hear, you and I hearing his words all the time, we can't forget who we are. And when those troubles, they're like all over us, we always have to rely on and our God, our living God. We don't worship idols or things that just stand there and they you talk to them or whatever, like I said, San Isaiah, they don't answer you, they sit there, they don't breathe, they can talk. We worship a living God. And what did I have to lose? What did I have to lose? Nothing that I have around me comforts me or fills me with joy. And those are the things that we need to focus more. Like God says, you know, my brother mentioned it this morning, that he sent his son to be sacrificed, to die for us. He paid for the sins of the world. Instead of him being on the cross, we should be the ones to suffer. But he took the same steps that Moses did, leaving the beauty, everything he had, his kingdom, everything he wished to have, and to do something, to suffer, to be a server for God and to guide his people to the promised land, to the eternal life, teaching them the things that the creator of them wants of them, to turn away from those evil doings and to come to him. You know, from the beginning, that is his purpose. That is his purpose. Adam and Eve, our parents, there and commit the mistake of listening to the enemy. And from there, all God wants to do is to bring us home again. So, you know, we are here just temporary, and we're not here forever. So we need to focus more on what God wants from us. And so we continue on 43. And also that I may remember the promises which I have made unto thee, Nephi, and also unto thy father, that I will remember your seed, and that and the words of your seed shall proceed forth out of my mouth unto your seed, and my words shall henceforth unto the ends of the earth for a standard unto my people, which are of the house of Israel. And that's very important for us to understand that we are, you know, a lot of people, they're like, okay, so Israel's way 1,000 miles away from where we are. How do you say that we are from the house of Israel? That's something that you don't see in the Bible. But the Book of Mormon teaches us that we are a remain of the branch of the sons of Jacob. So only in the Book of Mormon you see that. And so that is a second time that we have the for God to recover us, that we may come to him. So who does not have a second time, or who does not reserve a second chance? He's like my niece, probably. She didn't know. She made those things in an ignorant way, as we all do. But we come to the understanding that really, you know, there's up there someone who loves you. 2 Nephi 12:59-62, and it says, I know ye not that the testimony, know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, and that I remember one nation like unto another. Wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another, and when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of two nations shall run together also. And I do this that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday and forever. and that I speak for my words according to my own pleasure. He has the power to give and to take. And there's nothing we can do. It's nothing we can do. What kind of words do you have of comfort when to someone when their family member passed? It's nothing I can say that I can bring comfort to those people, but God has everything in control. To me, He is in control. He can take, He can give, He can do whatever He wants, and He can speak it, and it's done. He has the power. It says, it's my own pleasure. He makes us in His own image. He has the power to do everything and anything. But don't forget, He hasn't changed. He's the same one. He's the same one. And that's something that the same from the beginning until now. Until now. And those are the words that I always remember from my brother Hugh. That he likes those words. And I never forget those words. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is a God of power. We continue on in 73 and 74, and it shall come to pass that my people, which are for the house of Israel, shall be gathered home into the lands of the possessions, and my word also shall be gathered in one. And I will show unto them that fight against my word and against my people, which are of the house of Israel, that I am God, and that I covenant with Abraham, that I will remember his seed forever. Now that brings me to my other point, that the covenant that He did with Abraham, it applies to us, and it continues applying. In Genesis, it says, and God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant before thou and thy seed, and after thee and their generations. This is my covenant, which you should keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you, should be circumcised. That this circumcised in those days, that was the law. Everyone, after eight days after childbirth, they needed to be circumcised to remember that is one of the covenants that God made with Abraham. And so, God told Abraham, you know, you have to do this to make this covenant for you to follow me, for you to be my disciple, my friend, my follower, that you have to circumcise even everyone in your house. Those who you buy with money, those who they're born in your house, they had to be circumcised. So after that, he had his whole house circumcised. He got circumcised himself also, being of very old age. I think it says there was like he was like 90 something years. But we don't. I mean, these days, it's something personal that you guys do. But when it comes to what God is trying to say here, he's not talking about doing those things anymore for us to get close to Him. In Ezekiel, the word of God in 37, chapter 37, verse 15 and 17, it says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee the one stake and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. Once again, as he's talking about, I choose this verse here because it reminds us that we are part of the house of Israel, and even in the Bible. A lot of people don't believe that, but if you search, it is in the Bible, and we all know, and we all know that this is talking about, the people, and the, you know, where everything began in the Middle East, in Israel, and the people they are here, But we, you know, like it says in John, the last chapter, you know, there's many, many other books. And God is able to bring his word to them also. And who knows, perhaps there's more than books that are hiding up there that we don't know. But we have a witness of the Bible, which is the Book of Mormon. And it teaches a lot. And this is how we come to understanding that we are from the house of Israel. And you cannot forget that. This is who we are. This is who we are. 2 Nephi 12:19 to 21, it says, woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and rebel against that which is good, and say that is of not worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth. And in that day, that they are full rape and iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, says the Lord of hosts. You know, in 2 Chronicles, when we read the, if my people, they call by my name, shall repent, he will listen to them. He will heal them. If my people, he's talking to us. If the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness. And this is something that we have to put behind us. You know, I'm so glad and I'm so happy that I can see all of you here. All of you here. And that brings me pleasure. It's telling me that I belong to something greater, to something that I can, you know, this is who we are. This is who we are. I cannot desire to do anything else besides mountain biking with my brother. But nothing that can take, you know, brings me more joy into my heart than knowing God. I don't need the carnal things that surround us for me to be happy. And I wish that the other people will feel the same. Like my family, I kind of left behind for my beliefs. And it brings me sadness that I see them suffering, but if they had God in their hearts, I bet that they will experience the same joy that we experience. Seriously. In Genesis chapter 15, 8 to 21, it says, and he say, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit? And he said unto him, this is Abraham. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all this, and divide them in the midst, and lay each piece one against another. But the birds divided not. And when the falls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. And that's very important right there. I always wonder why. What is this? I'm assuming it's those birds, they eat meat. They like carnal. So when Abraham, after doing all this, he felt tired. He sat there. And then he see these things coming down, trying to disturb the things that God told him to do. But to me, this is like the evil thoughts that he has in his, they're trying to come into his heart. After God has told him to do these things, he can think all these wicked thoughts or worldly thoughts, which is springs from the first heaven, anxiety thoughts or the fruits that are unbelieving things or unknowing, all those things that any human being goes through it and it has experienced all those things. And when the falls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. We need to drive away all those things and have peace. When it comes time, the time that we are in front of God, like we are right now, we need to let go all those things that surround us, work, and the things that you need to do tomorrow and accomplish it. And you know, what is tomorrow is not up to you. It's not up to you. Right now, we need to just focus in the Word of God and get rid of those things. And get rid of those things. And we continue on. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And lo, horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surely that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. And it shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they shall serve will judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in good age. Old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It sounds to me that the God is prophesying to him, this is what's going to happen in days to come. And if you remember, I think that the Israelites were in Egypt for 430 years. They were suffering, they were being enslaved, they were working to death, they were doing all these things. So God, you know, during that time, he was just waiting for them to humble themselves and to call upon him. Like it says, if my people that are called by my name, I will listen to them and I will heal them. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoke furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt into the great river of the Euphrates. The burning, the furnace and the burning lamp, that is God trying to bring us peace, light into these things that surround us, that wants to bring us down. This is all God's plan. It's like I said, it's all we have to do is trust in him. You know, when Moses went back to Egypt, I'm just going to go real quick with my point here that there is something that I talked to in Mexico. And it has a really meaning to me, because this Moses, who we know when he was chased down by the king, because what he did, that he killed one of his workers or captains, I don't know who he was. He was run down out of Egypt because they wanted to kill him. But that was all a plan of God, because he came to the Midianites. And the Midianites, they were part of Abraham. They were from one of the sons of Abraham, from one of the wives after the first one was passed away, that he married quite a few times. In Genesis, actually in Exodus, I'm going to read real quick here, in Exodus chapter 4, 24-26, and it says, it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to cure him. It's talking about Moses here, where that after he accept to go and rescue the Israel from Egypt, God asked him, if you remember, he asked him to do this task, but then he wanted to kill him. The same thing is we being from the world, living in the world, doing the things of the world, what make you worthy that you are the right person to go and save souls? And that's why I said that sometimes I do feel not worthy. Moses, being in Egypt since his young years when he was an infant, he learned all these things from that big city and forget who he was. Who he was. He got so into these new customs. Because if you know, Egypt was so, they were so smart and so much that they did all these things that even people right now, they still don't understand how they did it. They were so acknowledged. And Moses was into that. So why is it that God wanted to kill him on his way to save Israel? Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So let him go. So he let him go. Then she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." Moses half forgot his roots. He even forgot that he was a Hebrew. He even forgot that that the blood of the Hebrews was running through his veins. He forgot all that because he was into so much joy that they was offering to him that it meant nothing to him or to us. So the mistake here that God wanted to kill him was because he forgot to circumcise his own sons. And that was a big mistake. He didn't know, he forgot, and Zipporah, his wife, a woman, did it for him. And he reminded him who you are. That kind of reminds me also the our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. He spilled his blood for you and I. We are part of him. We are part of that sacrifices that make us sons of blood too. But to make my sermon, to bring the point to you is that, you know, next week we will we will celebrating. Oh, remember, not celebrate, remember that Christ hung on the cross for you and I, and then he spilled his blood. So we have this thing that we do every first Sunday of the month, that we remember that. And that because he told us to remember that until he comes again. So at this point, I just wanted thanks to this lady to whom you only hear from her three times. She didn't even get to speak, but here. Then after that, you don't hear about her anything. But if it wasn't for her, God would have killed Moses in that, right there, in the spot. He would have killed him. If it wasn't for Zipporah, his wife, they did a circumcised for him, to remind him who he was. But Moses, being in Egypt, forgot all that. He forgot all that. And then now you're asking yourself, how is it that Zipporah knew what to do? She was from the Midianites, which is one of the sons from Abraham. And perhaps they will still have that custom and they will still practice those things they knew about the circumcised. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and his descendants. So Sapphira had born two sons to Moses, but he failed to perform the circumcision. But he forgot those things for the traditions that he learned over in Egypt. In Genesis 21:4, it says, "And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and God had commanded him to do those things." But now, we remember that he said, "I don't need any more the fat of animals or sacrifices of them, because Christ has fulfilled all those things." So what is the circumcised that he is asking us from us now? Is our heart. To circumcise our heart. You don't longer have to do those things. Like I said, it's a personal thing that you decide to do. But really, there's no need. As we come to Christ, he's asking you to circumcise your heart, to repent. And that will be the true repentant. There is no way back. And if you do well, it will be better for you to hang up a stone in your neck and throw yourself into the ocean, right? So the Pharaoh made it easy for Moses to forget the sacrifices of Abel, the sacrifices of the ram, the Isaac saw in the bush, and forgot that even the blood that was running through him was from the Hebrews. He forgot all those things. But we can forget those. And I still have 10 minutes, so I continue on. So the question is, who are we? We must remember that we are the bride as church. We are the bride of Christ. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea in us. And I, John, saw the holy city in Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for him, for her husband. We are his bride. And Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." Those things are very important to us. We are a people that were chosen by him. We are a chosen generation, peculiar people. So, what he requires of us now? To circumcise our hearts. Dead to sin, our flesh is constantly cast at the feet of Jesus. And how does that happen? When we repent ourselves and confess of those things that we commit, because we are sinners, no matter what. But as long as we come to Christ and repent and confess, just like what Sapphira did to Moses, our flesh is constantly cast into the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's who we are, dead because of our sins and alive because of Christ. That's who we are. So Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, 1-4. 1-4, it says, if thou will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return unto me, and if thou will put away thy abomination out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove, and thou shalt swear that the Lord liveth, and true, and in judgment, and in righteousness, and then the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thou says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns, and circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and lest my fury come forth like a fire and burn, that none quench it because of the evil of your doings. Circumcise your heart. In Deuteronomy 10:16, real quick. Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10. It says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your hearts, and be not more stiff-necked. It's pretty easy, right? But for others, it's pretty hard. For many, I should say, it's pretty hard. So, really, what Sophora did is to remind us that to the Lord's table, that the flesh and blood of the new covenant, every time we gather for sacrament, as we about to gather this weekend, we remember that Jesus is the bridegroom of the blood. And so that make me really into, I mean, really interesting. That was really interesting to me, because it all makes sense. And like I said, God always has a plan for us from the beginning and into now. And Moroni, I'm going to read what we read every first Sunday. Moroni 5:3, O God, eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of those who drink it of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them. We continue doing that over and over, and as long as we have the freedom to do it, we will continue doing that. That's who we are. And let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, we all know that it says that when Christ, in that same night, he brought the bread and even share it. And what Paul is saying here is that we have to be humble ourselves and remember those things, and not to come here with bad thoughts in our hearts and do the things that people do in a way that is not pleased to God. Let's read it, please. In 1 Corinthians 11, 17. That will be my last, sir, my last comment here. 1 Corinthians 11. Those who are following me. And 17 to 22. It says, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. But there must be also heresies among you, that the day which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, but for in eating everyone's take before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What have I not Have you not have house to eat and drink, and despise the church of God, and ashamed them that they have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. We're supposed to treat ourselves equally. Some of us have more than others, but in God's eyes, we are the same. And that's what Paul is saying. You have to leave that behavior outside. When you are in the house of the Lord, we are one, we are equal, we are the same. Don't forget who we are. Let us not forget who we are. We are the children of God by circumcision in our hearts. That's who we are. And that brings me pleasure to know. Because, like I said, many people don't know that. And they're living their lives in a way that perhaps their souls will be lost. So I thank you for your time, and I hope that everything, or that I make a little better sense here, and that this helped you guys this night. Thank you.
We're going to conclude the service tonight with the use of number 128. Would you please stand as we sing 128?